Welcome to the Lifeway Student Mystery Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood. That's John Paul Basham.
Yo.
Welcome to day two of our week-long emphasis on building an effective and healthy volunteer leadership organization in your student ministry. So it's one of the most common questions we get. It's one of the biggest issues in student ministry. It is always going to be one of the biggest and most important issues in student ministry. So we are going to take an entire week and we're going to focus on this one issue. So if you haven't listened to yesterday's podcast, go listen to it. We talk about just the importance and kind of the why behind developing volunteers and recruiting volunteers and why you must have them. Kind of the main thing we walked away with from yesterday's podcast was recruiting and developing fellow disciple makers. And if we're trying to do student ministry all on our own, we're not doing it biblically. So with that in mind, and as we go into today's conversation, I want to remind you to check out the Student Pastor Network free preview we've got going on right now. So head over to studentpastornetwork.com/preview. There's some samples of videos up there about the training and development that you will get as a member of the Student Pastor Network. So head over there, check that out. We spend a ton of time talking about strategy and ministry philosophy and the how-to, very, very practical things that it takes to effectively lead an impactful student ministry. So head to the studentpastornetwork.com/preview and check out what's there for you. Find out everything you need to know to become a member. So today's conversation, we're going to be talking about the three ingredients that are necessary for you to build and develop an effective and healthy volunteer organization. Now, full disclosure here, the things that we're going to be talking about for the next couple days are excerpts that we pulled out and themes that we pulled out from Eric Geiger and Kevin Peck's book, Designed to Lead. So it's a tremendous book. If you haven't read it, go get it. It talks a lot about building a leadership pipeline, how we as ministers are designed to lead, develop others. So go check out that book. Again, it's called Designed to Lead by Eric Geiger and Kevin Peck. And with Eric Geiger being my boss, and ultimately like all of our bosses here at the Lifeway Resource Division. So we get to hear a lot of these things all the time, and it's really, really strong stuff for developing your volunteer leaders and leadership in general. So let's dive into the three ingredients that it takes for you to have an effective and healthy volunteer leadership organization. And John Paul, the first one is a conviction within the leader. So the reality here is that if you don't have a deep conviction, a biblical conviction, and even if you don't see the biblical mandate to develop other people, then it's never going to happen. It has to start in the heart of the leader.
Right. So one of the things that Eric would say is that leaders need to get to the place where they can't imagine doing ministry without developing other people. So obviously, the core of your ministry has to be that it stands on the Word of God. It stands on the Scripture. But the application of that Scripture, the way that people are trained in that Scripture, the way that people are discipled through that message, can't rely on you, or there are going to be very few people that are actually being deeply impacted by you.
Yeah.
And so in order to do this on the scale that God calls us to do it, we have to bring along other people that we've equipped to do what we're doing as well. In essence, duplicating your own leadership.
Yeah.
And that's got to be a strong conviction of any ministry leader.
Yeah, it does. And there are a lot of people who have a strong conviction that they're the best Bible teacher around and the people are going to get the most out of it, as long as they're the ones teaching the Bible. But the reality is even if you are the best communicator on the planet, the best preacher that this world has ever seen, and all the people get is a message from you sitting in an audience, they're never going to be able to process that in community with other people. And that's where this conviction comes in. Like, you have to be convinced to the point that, like John Paul said, you can't imagine doing ministry without this group of people around you, without these volunteer leaders, because you know they are the ones that sit in community most often with your students and help them digest the biblical truth, and it digested in real time. So the discipleship aspect of that is digesting biblical truth in real time with issues that they're going through right now. And that simply cannot be done for every student in your ministry just through a message. So the first thing is the conviction. It has to start in your heart to the point that you are convinced that ministry should not be done without other people. And if you listen to the first episode and you heard us talk about Ephesians chapter 4 and the plain command and instruction that that is the role of the minister, then if you are a follower of Scripture, you should be convinced of that, right? And so the example here is Moses and transition to Joshua, right? So if you look in Scripture and you see that transition take place in the book of Joshua, like, so Moses finishes up as a leader and he has trained this man, Joshua, the whole time to step into his role when he leaves. Joshua's with him in a lot of leadership environments. He watches the leader. He sees the leader. He participates. And so Moses has developed this person throughout his lifetime to be the next leader. Joshua takes over. Joshua is a great leader in and of himself, but Joshua trains no one to follow him in leadership. And you can read this, but you can see it clearly take place. And when Joshua's done, there's nobody to follow him. He's trained no one to come behind him. And the people begin to fall away from the Lord and they begin to crash.
So the scripture says Joshua dies at the age of 110. That is a long time to develop some people.
Yeah.
And he dies. The whole generation was also gathered to their ancestors, and after them another generation rose up who did not know the Lord or the works he had done for Israel.
Yeah. So, man, when we talk about the conviction of developing leaders, like, think about when you leave your student ministry position right now. Will there be a generation of students who no longer know the Lord? If that doesn't stir something within the heart of a leader, then I'm not sure what will. As far as the conviction to do this.
Well, and that's something we've talked about in some other episodes. You know, as you're leading your ministry, one of your goals should be that if you left tomorrow, the ministry wouldn't skip a beat.
Yeah.
That, yes, you are an important part of that ministry. You're casting vision and you're moving that forward. But if the ministry falls apart when you leave, then you know there's some red flags there. You know, if Wednesday night's not going to come off next week because you're not there, then you've got some work to do to put some people in place.
Yeah.
So a big part of that in talking about leadership development is culture. And that's the next piece that Eric talks about. Some of us have a bunch of leaders that are working with us, but the culture that we have developed in the ministry is not one that's necessarily supporting the mission that you've outlined in your church. And so that culture, the way people are seeing the work that's being done, as well as the kind of people that you have with you to accomplish this work with you, is crucial.
Yeah. So part of culture, just three quick things when you think about culture, because I think culture is a word that we throw around a lot. You might throw around a lot. It gets thrown around a lot in business and organizational leadership environments. Three main pieces of culture: strong identity. So ask yourself this question: who is our student ministry? Who's our church? A strong identity of who you are, and closely linked to number two, a clear mission, a what you're there to do. So this is something that we dive in deeply to in the Student Pastor Network, is helping you as a student pastor develop mission. As a student pastor, your mission should be an outflow of what the mission of the whole church is, of what God has given your senior pastor. But how do we articulate that mission in light of student ministry? What is the thing that you are on the planet to do? So a strong identity and who we are, closely connected to the thing that you do. What is your clear mission? And then the third part of culture is a culture that develops and deploys. So if it is a conviction for you to develop and deploy people into ministry, both students and adults in your church, so adults in that you're recruiting and training them and deploying them into ministry in your student ministry, and students that you are develop and engaging and partnering with to execute ministry as well and putting them in places of leadership, a culture, strong identity, linked to a clear mission that develops and deploys people. So conviction, culture, and then the final one is the construct.
Which is a C word. What systems and processes do you have in place? What kind of infrastructure have you put in place to be able to plug those leaders once they understand this is why we're here, and this is what my role is doing to move forward this mission that we're all bought into? What do you have in place to be able to plug those leaders into so that they can all see clearly how it's all moving together to do the work of the Lord? What do you have in place to be able to train those leaders, to equip them to do that work? You know, and we've talked about this in probably 40 different episodes.
So at some level.
Yeah, so I don't think we have to flesh that out too much. But what systems are in place? And sometimes, you know, the question is, well, how important is a system? Do I really need to systemize that? You know, where's the balance between what the Holy Spirit is doing and what I'm coming up with on my own? How do you deal with that tension, Ben?
I think the answer is yes, you do need a system. I think you need to know your process for recruiting someone, your process for moving them from a recruitment into a position, and your process for training and developing them while they're in the position. I think when the Holy Spirit calls us to ministry, He calls us to develop a ministry that most effectively leads people to the Lord and disciples His people. And so I think a part of being a leader is that development. Now, I think the Holy Spirit definitely works in those processes and outside of those processes to bring people to you and to bring leaders that say, hey, I want to work with seventh grade boys. I mean, that's the Holy Spirit working in someone's life. But at that moment, it is our due diligence to be a good steward of the calling that we have on our lives to take people through a process. To, you know, in the Psalms, talks about that Moses is praying this prayer. He's established the work of our hands. So he's recognizing that, yes, that God is in his sovereignty is playing a role in establishing the work, but also that there's work that there's to be done. And so I think those two things go very, very well together. I think saying, well, the Holy Spirit is just going to bring me these volunteers and they're going to be the ones who really engage, I think it's a cop-out, because many times we're afraid to really put into place the administrative processes that have to be there.
Yeah, or just don't know how.
Right.
There is a very common conversation that I feel like I find myself in with ministry leaders where there's this desire for this kind of just grassroots explosion of ministry. And more often than not, it's not happening and people want it to happen.
Yeah.
And the reason that it isn't happening is because there's nothing being done to create a framework that people are can jump into and understand what's in your mind and what's in your heart and where God is leading you. And part of this is just leadership. One of the examples we're going to look at as we walk through all of this week is the counsel that Jethro gives Moses. When he gives him a construct, he gives him a system, put people in place that are going to be able to take charge and take some of this responsibility off of you for tens, fifties, hundreds, thousands. That's a construct, that's a system that Jethro counseled Moses to put in place because the work was too much for Moses. It's highly effective. And so, you know, this is one of those places that it's easy to dig into Scripture and see that this is a model that we have for effective leadership.
Yeah, and so that's one of the reasons why we're taking this week out to talk about these very things, to help those of you that may be a little nervous or scared of the process because you feel like it infringes on the Holy Spirit's work. And for those of you that want to implement that just don't know how, that's why we're spending a week talking about this. So today we talked about conviction, culture, and constructs as the three ingredients to building an effective and healthy volunteer leadership organization. For the rest of the week, remember to come back, head over to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. That way it's delivered to you without you even having to think about it. And you can listen to the rest of this week's podcast and many more. So we'll see you tomorrow with the next episode of our discussion on volunteer leadership. Remember to head to studentpastornetwork.com/preview to find out everything that you need to know to become a member of the premier training and development tool for student pastors. We'll see you tomorrow.